This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
Thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. On today's show, our programmer, Brent Ragsdale, will host a discussion with Lee Gumm and Russell Gray of Extinction Rebellion. The entire staff of Eco Radio KC is present because KKFI's Pledge Week is happening. We need our listeners to call in and show us your support. But first, the environmental news for the week of 6/3/19. My name is Teresa Wilkie. Democracy Now! Reports, at the Chicago Board of Trade, commodity prices for corn and soybeans have soared in recent days as severe weather continues to hamper the spring planting season. Farmers across the central United States report flooding, and an unprecedented string of deadly tornadoes have left millions of acres of farmland impossible to plant. The Trump administration has branded methane, a major source of greenhouse gas emissions driving the global climate crisis, as freedom gas. The rebranding came as part of a Department of Energy news release, which said, Department of Energy is doing what it can to promote an efficient system that allows for molecules of U.S. freedom to be exported to the world. Malaysia will send up to 3,000 tons of plastic waste back to the countries it came from to halt those countries from dumping their used plastic under the guise of recycling. Malaysia became the world's main dumping ground for plastic refuse after China banned its importation last year. The plastic is smuggled to unlicensed recycling plants from countries including the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Canada, and Australia, and it's causing environmental problems. The New York Times reports the Trump administration is ramping up its assault on climate science through a coordinated multi-agency effort. The National Climate Assessment will remove any worst-case scenario projections in upcoming reports. In addition, the National Security Council has been told to remove references to climate change in speeches and public statements, and the U.S. Geological Survey will no longer project the impact of climate change through the end of the century, but rather will stop at the year 2040. CBS News reports what started off as nothing more than an average tornado season has leaped into overdrive these past few weeks, coupled with historic flooding in the nation's middle and an all-time record-shattering heat in the southeast. This extreme weather is being driven by an extremely amplified pattern, a pattern which bears the fingerprints of both natural climate fluctuations and global warming. For the year so far, we're closing in on 1,000 tornado reports across the nation. That's more than 200 ahead of normal pace. Even for what's considered the heart of tornado season, the past 30 days have been exceptionally busy. The Missourian reports the smokestacks of the largest coal-fired power plant in the state of Missouri has been dumping coal ash, the leftover waste from burning coal to create electricity, in massive pits in the ground called coal ash ponds since 1970. Coal ash contains a long list of chemicals which can lead to cancer, neurological damage, and child development problems, according to the U.S. EPA. As the ash mixes with water in ponds that average 20 feet deep, it can seep into groundwater that spreads underground for miles through natural water tables and aquifers. A recent report by environmental nonprofits found that 91% of coal-fired power plants have contaminated the groundwater beneath them. There have been several major coal ash spills in America since 2008, which pushed the EPA to create the first federal coal ash regulation finalized in April of 2015, and that required utility companies to test the groundwater near ash ponds and landfills and to post the results publicly. Environmental groups published a report in March of this year, Coal's Poisonous Legacy, which found that groundwater at 52% of coal plants contains unsafe levels of arsenic and that groundwater at 60% of those plants contains unsafe levels of lithium. Forbes reports the cost of renewable energy has tumbled even further over the past year, to the point where almost every source of green energy can now compete on cost with coal, oil, and gas-fired power plants, according to new data just released. Rodale Institute reports a recent white paper released by GMO-Free USA entitled Eating Out, A Date with Glyphosate, has reported that the weed killer glyphosate and its byproducts are pervasive in foods served by major restaurant chains throughout the United States. From National Catholic Reporter, after decades of housing a nuclear weapons plant, as well as offices for various government agencies, the Bannister Federal Complex in Kansas City, Missouri, has only been vacant for a few years. In December 2017, Kevin Breslin, a private developer, acquired its deed free of charge and is progressing in his plans to redevelop the former federal complex into an industrial park. For many in Kansas City, the acquisition represented an innovative effort to redeem a dangerous brownfield. Sick workers and their advocates wonder if the Bannister site could ever really be cleaned as more revelations surfaced about the Kansas City plant's toxic legacy, the dust. But cleaning up a property that for decades manufactured components for nuclear weapons is not like mopping up your kitchen floor. The dirt is persistent and not easily removed. Now we go to our guest.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard Mabian, and I'm here tonight with
Brent Ragsdale.
And we're going to first start out talking to you about this fund drive that we have. And we have to make our pitch, and then we'll go to our guests, and we will interview them. Before I get started, I want to say that this station is by far the only station in town that brings you the environmental news as it is, the only one that talks about it in the way that we do. So I really want you to take homage tonight, because one of our key Sierra Club members passed away this past Thursday. And even though I'm not going to go into a big deal about it, go to our website, go to Kansas Sierra Club website, and you can see his name was Richard Voss. He was the husband of Elaine Giesel, one of our longtime hosts and friends here at this show. And we want everyone to be aware of it. And this time for our fund drive, I'm asking you to keep them in mind. And if you would, we want you to contribute. We want you to contribute because both of those people love this show. And we want to make sure that we keep this show on air, that we keep teaching people about the environment, that we keep people being aware of the fact of why we need to be here. If we wasn't doing this and the show we got tonight, you wouldn't hear any place else in town, especially the way we're going to have it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody that's listening in, and thank you, Richard, for that remembrance. So part of KKFI's mission is to educate and inform, and so that's the show tonight. But before I go much further, I want to give the number. So please call in, 888-931-0901. Yeah, I'm one of the newer hosts on this show. We've got a great crew. We've got about everybody here on deck to talk this evening and do a little pitching. So please, if you get value out of KKFI and appreciate hearing about the environment and the environmental issues, then support us.
That's right, 888-931-0901. That's 888-931-0901. And for those of you on a computer, you can dial in at kkfi.org. You can also make your pledge from that perspective. We're looking for a variety of pledges. We need you to keep us alive, keep this station alive, and keep Eco Radio alive, because that is the only way we're going to be able to keep you informed of the various things that's going on. You heard the news. You heard of all the bad weather and all the damaging of things that's been going. It's horrible. But at the same time, we have to deal with deniers. So we have to be in a position that we can keep coming to you, not about the fight between that's going on in D.C. and the political arenas, but about what we have to deal with as people with each other. Yeah. Our responsibility is to empower. I don't even like the word educate anymore. It's to empower you to be able to empower those you love so that they will be in a position to take command of how they're living on this earth.
Yeah, again, our number, 888. 931-0901. Yeah.
What about those giveaways we got? What is they got going on?
Yeah, there? We got some giveaways this time around. We've got a tote bag, a couple of tote bags for $7.50 monthly. Or what we would really like to encourage people to do is to sign up and be a sustaining member. which you can do easily by calling in 888-931-0901, or you can do that on our website, kkfi.org. But you can get the gifts if you, for instance, want the cool T-shirt that we've got out this time. It's a $90 one-time gift, or that can be spread out throughout the year for $7.50 a month.
All right, gang, we're going to go into beginning our interview. We'll be back on to talk to you about it in a little bit. So, Brent, you want to get started with that?
Yeah, we're really pleased to have some folks in to talk about Extinction Rebellion. So I want to introduce Lee Gum. She's the local representative for the Extinction Rebellion Kansas City movement. And we also have in the studio Russell Gray from Washington, D.C., representing the national movement. And we'll talk with Russell a little later. I think Richard and I are going to maybe tag team talking with Lee for a few minutes, and then we'll do some other pitching, and then we'll bring Russell into the conversation. So, Lee, I know you've been on KKFI. I heard you on Radioactive a few weeks ago, and you and I have talked at an event where Richard spoke. But tell us a little bit about Extinction Rebellion for people that have not heard of that name.
People, citizens, to move the government to make change. And they recognize that civil disobedience, resistance, has the most powerful effect and takes the least amount of people in the population. It doesn't take everybody. It's been written that it takes 3.5% of the population to even topple a dictatorship. So our goal is to really spark and sustain a creative, nonviolent movement of mass action to address the needs for change in our political, economic, and social landscape.
Okay, Lee, we've met before, and we've had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I kind of want you to expand on the extinction, what that means.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know about that word. It does seem kind of strong, but I think that they realized it's not too strong. We are in the sixth mass extinction that scientists have recorded and discovered. There is a fast accelerating rate of extinction of species. We are a species, so I think it really behooves us to pay attention to that. So it's not too extreme to say that we are standing up for life on this planet, for a healthy life, for everybody. And so the name is fitting. I think that it also really speaks to the urgency of the movement, and I think that really Extinction Rebellion is particularly poised to really accelerate all of the environmental movements, of which there are so many, and we want to be in alliance with each other to make things happen quickly, because we know from the International Panel on Climate Change from the UN that came out in November that we have maybe a very short time to make changes in what we're putting into the atmosphere. And if we don't, it's just going to continue to increase. Last year, I think we're the highest carbon emissions that were put out. And so, you know, we're not really making a dent, or we're actually getting worse. And if we don't make quick changes, we really are going to get into a runaway warming situation where we will, even the efforts that we do put forth in the future, it's going to be too late to make a difference to stop the temperature rise.
Well, a few weeks ago, Dave and I talked a little bit about your movement, and we explained your three simple demands. But before we get into that, if this is sparking anybody's, encouraging anyone to call in a pledge, let me give you that number again, 888-931-0901. So tell us about your three simple demands.
Well, it's four.
Okay, the four simple demands. Update.
There were three, Brent. You're right. There were three when really the United Kingdom had mass action in October, November, shutting down London. It got the attention of the world, and just people from cities and countries everywhere wanted on board. So that's why the U.S. got involved. and really added a fourth one. So I'll just explain briefly. Really, the first one, we're really demanding that truth be told about the climate, about the ecological crisis. Our government and the media need to be together on informing people correctly, accurately. And also,
and that intersects with what we do here. So
absolutely. Yeah. So grateful. And also the demand for carbon emissions to be at net zero by 2025. That's how drastic this action needs to be. A third one is a citizens' assembly, meaning really what happened in April with the United Kingdom. Their actions there created such a stir. They occupied parts of the city for 10 days. There were 1,000 arrests. And they got the parliament basically did declare a climate emergency. They got an audience with some of the leaders there to talk about solutions. So that type of assembly of just regular citizens who are concerned, not any government officials who are getting money from the fossil fuel industries. But the fourth one that was added is really important. The U.S. realized that any change in our energy, in our systems, has to include the least of these, the people who are most vulnerable, the indigenous populations. So they're demanding a just transition to a new way of being. And I thought it was cool, after the April actions in the UK, they met and evaluated their actions and really decided to adopt the U.S. A demand that was added for a just transition. So they agreed with us.
That's great. I hadn't heard that.
I have a tremendous concern about the climate change consciousness that exists in America, especially in our low-income communities. And my main concern is, in the processes of this program, are there any steps being considered as far as that portion of the population is concerned? And if so, if not, what do you think about the lack of consciousness that we have in the low-income communities?
Wow. I think by adding that demand, it's really calling attention for us to be seeking each other out. And I think that there's a lot of misinformation or lack of interest in information about the environment in all our communities. So, but it does really point out the need to reach out. Some of the things I have done, I've made some connection with the Wisdom Keepers of the Flint Hills. I live in Kansas City, Kansas, and have some connections with the Hispanic community there, and trying to find out what do they know, what do they need.
Don't leave out reaching out to Richard. You did that too.
I did too. I was looking for Richard for a long time after seeing you online, and we've talked, and I'm very excited. So it's really about building relationships, I think, together and working together.
Well, after we had our session, I left there with this particular thought, and also still have it, that we need to become more engaged with one another, because that issue is there. It's on the table, and it's something that we're going to need to deal with. And I think it's not about anyone having an answer. It's about, first of all, agreeing that we have that issue, and then start doing some brainstorming with each other to try to figure out how to overcome it. And right now, my problem with the brainstorming is coming from the majority community, because they don't hear. So I'm trying to say, what kind of what kind of steps would you be willing to take to see that that portion of the community understands that everything that goes on, they don't have an answer for, and maybe they need to just hear, and maybe we'll start building from square one. Why do you feel about that?
Wow. I'm not sure.
I didn't tell you it was going to be
easy.
I know
you didn't give me a heads up on that one, but that's okay. I think about it a lot, but I think that my general focus right now, after our kind of busy Earth Day events that we had this spring, is really reconsidering how we make our outreach about Extinction Rebellion, like
right.
this show.
Right.
Who do we go and give our talk to? And it includes a lot of the climate science-based information that your listeners probably know a lot about. and also about Extinction Rebellion and how to get involved. So I think it's really going to come down to a strategy to go to those places. I don't know of any formalized way of doing that other than just
keeping
it.
Yeah, and I'm not asking
it.
For that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about your own personal belief, Bianca, because right now you are the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you know that or not, you are the movement. And I understand that from my position in many things I do, I am that movement that's informing the public.
Yeah.
So if, in fact, that's something that you have in mind, that's great because we need to do it. Russell, you wait till you get on the phone. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to have to know from you so you can be prepared. One thing that we talked about was you're concerned about Turner and Argentine District. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Well, I just recently have learned about some of the environmental hazards of living in that area. And, you know, it's the, I think, second largest train yard in the U.S. at least. And those engines idle all night. They sit there and idle, and that diesel fume is highly toxic. So, and there's some chemical plants that I know the air quality has been monitored there as well.
Your hard
there's been a spill.
Yes.
And so, you know, there are people just right feet from the tracks. And so
do you all have anything that you're actively engaged in? Now that's what I want to hear.
Well, right now we are kind of ramping up. I think that largely we're going to focus on some international week of action at the end of September.
Okay.
We do have some plans for First Fridays, so you might look for us there. We are trying not to give too much away because we want to be able to actually get on the street and not be prevented from doing that.
Right.
But people can certainly join us. To find out
more. And, Bren, I'm not trying to take over the conversation. I mean, because you're here, too. But those areas that you're talking about in that Missouri passing this law that you can't participate in protests but near any of the oil fields. It's punishable by prison times. This is starting to be a wave of the future coming from that side of the track.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, how do you anticipate that from this type of movement?
Well, I think Extinction Rebellion is really in a position of being prophetic, you know, looking ahead. I'm a mom, and I spent the last 30 years looking ahead, looking around. Where are the hazards? Where are my kids going to get hurt or get into trouble? And trying to prevent that. And it's not that much different. For those of us who are educated and empowered and listening and wanting to know about what's really happening to our world, it's as simple as that. It's just waking up and then finding where do you fit in. And I think Extinction Rebellion is poised because of the preparation of regular citizens to stay informed, to get creative and stick together and join arms and learn how to be on the streets, how to do direct action, how to withstand taunts and even maybe some abuse for standing up for what we know is a huge danger that people are just ignoring.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of it locally. There's a big coalitions now coming together around climate change and around environmental issues. And so I know that you started to speak about that. So the Drawdown Initiative, for one, that they're doing a lot of education here.
Yeah, one of the ways that I got engaged in Extinction Rebellion was I was just looking for more information and really asking the question, where do I fit in? How do I get involved? And Drawdown was one of the first things that I learned about last summer, I guess. And I'm impressed. First of all, it revived my hope. You know, it gave me something to think, oh, we can do something. It is worth putting a lot of effort into. They have cataloged and researched 80 known, already in action solutions that we can all be a part of. And so being a part of a Drawdown solution introduction class, you can find out about those on the Climate Council of Greater Kansas City's website, and get involved with a small group and really hash out where are you going to make a difference. That's one way to do it.
Yeah. So I want to throw our pledge number in one more time, 888-931-0901. Yeah, in addition to Drawdown, well, I guess we need to take a break and we'll get back with you and Russell in a minute. Dave?
Yeah. So we're going to be doing some syndicated programming here for a couple minutes, and then we'll be back. And it'll be your chance to match Greg Schwartz's champion challenge of $100. So stay tuned for that, and feel free to get ready to pledge by going to kkfi.org, or get your phone out, and you can dial in at 888-931-0901.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leiswitz, and this is Climate Connections. Hurricanes are not the only threat to homes in New Orleans' historically African-American 7th Ward. Rising seas and more heavy rain can overwhelm the city's aging pumping infrastructure.
Just with a summer rain or a spring rain, you can have water inundating your home. You can't get to work, you can't get your kids to and from school, and so everything is disrupted as a result of this water.
That's Angela Chalk of Healthy Community Services. Her neighborhood nonprofit teaches residents about rain barrels, rain gardens, and other ways to soak up excess water. The group installs them in places where people will see the benefits. For example, they planted a rain garden near a barbershop.
The gentlemen there have noticed that there's no pooling of water at the entrance to the door, and so they start to notice that, wow, this has made a difference.
And that interest spreads quickly.
So when I'm passing on the street, they'll stop me, look, tell me about this.
She says residents are eager to get involved.
I don't want people to make the mistake that because people live in a poor community or a non-affluent community that they don't care about climate change. We're doing what we do. We're working.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
Pack your bathing suit and your hiking boots for this current cast. Going to the dunes usually means a day at the beach, but the Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore, which spans 15 miles of Lake Michigan's coastline, is more than sand and waves. Kathy Martin of the nonprofit Save the Dunes says trails wind through a variety of habitats.
If you were to start at the lake, you would walk through to the beach, a foredune, a forested dune, oak savanna habitats, wetlands, and then woodlands.
Oak savannas, once common in the Midwest, are rapidly disappearing.
We have some really high-quality ones here left, so we'd like to say we have the best of the last of some things.
Making the dunes not just a beach, but a biological gem. Current Cast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
And we are in our champion challenge period. Greg Schwartz, who is our treasurer and knows the importance of the finances of KKFI, has thrown down $100. So for the next 7 minutes, you can... Greg will match up to $100 of what we get. So this would be a perfect time to call and support community radio. It's always good to call in and support community radio during a fund drive, but when there's a champion challenge on the table, we want to take full advantage of Greg Schwartz's generosity. My name is Mike Murphy, and I've been thrilled to be involved with this program for years. I think it's very important. I know you think so, too. You're listening. And we hear from... listeners a lot when we do call-in shows. We hear from people calling from anywhere from Wyandotte County to Smithville to Lee's Summit and all points in between from the east side to the west side. And so we're asking all those folks we're asking you to call a different number today and support community radio for during our fund drive. The number to call is 888-931-0901. 888-931-0901. We've got 5.5 minutes left in this challenge. We're a minute and a half into it. This would be a great time to call 888-931-0901.
I hope that you all listen regularly to Eco Radio KC. We love doing it. And everyone here is a volunteer. There is not a single person that's going to profit from your money. This will be the most efficient way you've spent your money today, because if you give to KKFI, every dime we get, we use to inform people and entertain people and educate people. And if you all are like me, and sometimes you think and worry about the environment, I know you do because you're listening to Eco Radio KC, and you think, well, what can I do? And here's something you can do. Call us now, 888-931-0901. Now, a very good way to give is as a sustained giver. So we have operators standing by, and if you call on your credit card, you can draw $7.50 a month. And in exchange, we'll be happy to send you a T-shirt, or you have to choose, two tote bags. Because we're even getting to KKFI, Eco Radio is, and so now they're offering not just one tote bag, but two tote bags. Have you all ever been at the grocery store and thought, oh, the heck, I wish I had another bag? So this is a good way to do it, and your bag's going to say 90.1 FM. But for $10 a month, which is very affordable, you can get two tickets to our fabulous collaborations event, which will be June 29th at the Folly Theater, and see all your friends there and be fabulously entertained. For $12.50 a month, you can do a guest DJ. And we would love to have a guest DJ on Eco Radio. We don't think for a second we know everything that's going on in the climate. We would like you to call. You can go to kkfi.org and hit the donate button. Finally, for $25 a month, we're offering a combo this time around, and you can have the whole shebang, T-shirt, tote bags, collaborations, tickets. So call us now. We only have a few more minutes to get that match. What do we have left, Mike?
2.5 minutes.
Oh, good, Dick.
Yep.
The number to call, 888-931-0901. You can also go online at kkfi.org. We are checking there as well to make sure that it came in within this match period. We've got to get the phones ringing, 888-931-0901, 888-931-0901. We've got to get these phones ringing. Michael Hoag is in the other room, anxious to take your call. The rest of us are on standby, ready to run in there. It looks like we've got 2.5 minutes left in this challenge. 888-931-0901. This is the time for you to call, 888-931-0901.
Sure, we know you're listening. We know that you like to listen to Eco Radio, and this is the way of the world. You pay for your entertainment. It's a little confusing even to us because certainly anyone can turn KKFI on the dial or on the smart speaker at home and say, play KKFI. I hope you all are doing that. But it does cost us to put the signal out, and this is the time that we need to ask you to give. Call us now, 888-931-0901.
Okay, this is Craig, and I want to tell you some of the reasons why we do this. Environment is our passion. As you know, we've had a lot of great stories. We've covered population. We've covered endangered species. We've covered water issues many times. There's just a lot of issues. We want the community to be educated. We believe that an educated community will do more, will work more to help the environment out there in the community. So that's one of the reasons we want you to pledge. We have a lot of great issues coming up. As Teresa mentioned, cost. We're all volunteers, but we have other costs. We have to maintain our tower, broadcast tower. We have equipment in the studio here we have to maintain.
We have a great studio. So, we hope that you all come in. We're at the corner of 39th and Main. And take a look at KKFI. And tell all your friends about KKFI. This is a happening place.
And get your friends to call. There's only 30 more seconds left in our champion challenge. $100 extra will be coming from Greg Schwartz. And we appreciate his contribution. And it won't come to us unless you call now at 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org. Just about 15 seconds left in this champion challenge.
We know there's people in environmental organizations, Sierra Club, National Wilderness Society, Audubon Society. And a lot of you may not be pledging to us yet. for the first time, but please make this your first time. And if you're a repeat pledger, all the better.
It's exciting to give to KKFI. It's such a good thing. You get to feel good about yourself. You understand that the money you spent is the best value you're going to get for your dollar today, because we don't waste it. We put it to very good work.
And our 7 minutes are up, but I just was in the other room with Michael Hogue, and we did meet our challenge. Ooh, thanks yay. thanks to Elaine Giesel, who donated in memory of her late husband, and as Richard was talking about at the beginning of the show. So thank you, Elaine, taking us over the finish line. That doesn't mean you can't still call and contribute to community radio at 888-931-0901. I'm going to get out of the way and let these fine folks continue talking what they were talking about. But thank you, Elaine, and thank you, Greg.
Okay, Brent Ragsdale here again. So we have some great guests in the studio speaking with us tonight about Extinction Rebellion. Again, we spoke with Lee Gum. She's the local Extinction Rebellion KC representative. We also have a young man named Russell Gray, who's from Washington, D.C., and is representing the national movement. So Russell, we'd like to bring you into the conversation. Welcome to KKFI.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I understand you grew up here in Kansas City, but you now live in Washington. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I grew up in Shawnee, went away for college, and then ended up moving to D.C. because I got a job there. But I'm no longer working there. I'm working for Extinction Rebellion full time.
That's great. Well, tell us, what's that like, and how long have you done it, and how big a deal is it?
Yeah, so I left my job in November of last year, right around when the U.K. was having these huge bridge protests. And essentially, I was one of the first people in the U.S. to start working for Extinction Rebellion, and I helped to facilitate the expansion process across the country and help get the new chapters established. And it has been a wild ride so far, much different than anything else I've ever done. A lot of challenges that I couldn't have even fathomed before I got into doing it. But at the same time, I've never felt so fulfilled. I've never felt that I was so perfectly on the path that I was supposed to be on and doing something that's so important. So it's been a really amazing experience for me so far. And it also is super satisfying to see people like Lee, who I talked to 6 months ago, and now the chapter's established and things are happening and it's replicated across the country. So it really gives me a lot of hope to see all these chapters continuing to grow and get stronger.
Yeah, well, it's a lot like KKFI. You know, it's got to be people stepping up to make it happen, or it just doesn't happen. But it seems like a great thing that we're seeing in the UK, and now I'm really excited to hear more about what's going on nationally. Lee explained how the UK movement has adopted the fourth principle that came from the United States, which was to have some social justice and environmental justice component to whatever solutions we come up with. Mm-hmm. I really am intrigued by the third idea of the citizens' assemblies. I really like the kind of British way they say that, you know, democracy fit for purpose. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you see taking off there in Washington? It seems like, you know, that's the heart of our government, but I'm not sure that there's that much influence by the common man in Washington right now.
Yeah, certainly not at this point. So the Citizens Assembly concept in the UK is a really specific thing that is baked into their legal system. And it's essentially this, it's a process called sortition, and a certain number of people are randomly selected from the population, and then they make up a legislature, and they're given a mandate of something that they have authority over. So in this instance, they want a citizens' assembly to be formed. It'll just be regular people selected at random, and then they'll have the authority to oversee a transition to net zero. So it's a little bit different in the U.S. because we don't have a corollary to that idea in our Constitution. The way I think about it in the U.S. context is it's less of a specific idea of what we want the Citizens Assembly to look like and more of an acknowledgement that the way our political system exists now is completely broken, and we don't trust our politicians to do what needs to be done. We don't trust them to be able to ignore all this money that's flowing in during the political process. So we need something different. We need some political body that is actually responsive to the will of the people and not just to fossil fuel money. So that's kind of why we put that in there.
Okay. And what's your stance with the Green New Deal and the Sunrise Movement? Are you seeing that as an ally?
Definitely. So I personally, not in an Extinction Rebellion capacity, am really involved with the Sunrise Movement in D.C. And it has been really inspiring to watch the public conversation coalesce around the Green New Deal in a way that climate change and climate solutions have never been talked about before. But Extinction Rebellion as an organization, our role, we see our role to be a little bit different than the Sunrise Movement and the Green New Deal especially. So the Green New Deal is a policy platform. It's a set of specific solutions to the climate crisis. But Extinction Rebellion as an organization, we don't feel like our role is to bring forward these specific solutions because we don't have the policy experts. We don't have all these years of experience. We're just regular people who are trying to step up and make a difference. So we see our role to be kind of the very tip of the spear, like the fact that we're doing civil disobedience, that we're in the streets getting arrested, that our elected leaders feel like there's a huge demand that is not going to go away for climate action. That's what we're here for, and that opens up space for other things to be actually put into place. And I think Lee was alluding to this earlier, that the Green New Deal is much more likely to be passed into law if there's a massive movement in the streets with people getting arrested regularly, shutting down cities. And if that's not there, it's hard to say that the Green New Deal has a high likelihood of getting passed.
Yeah. So, Richard, you had some questions?
Well, I wanted to go. I really like what you was just saying, and I see you as like the enforcement arm of the environmental movement, and I kind of wanted to know what you are experiencing when you approach new cities, new places, to talk to people about this. One, how are people reacting to you? And two, is there any pushback?
Yeah, so for one thing, the reaction that I get has been, for the most part, extremely positive. So a lot of people, I think, were in the same situation that I was. I had a regular 9-to-5 job. I was actually working for the federal government, which is kind of ironic. But I was just in this position where I was perpetually in a state of panic about climate change. I was just constantly freaking out. Like I felt like the world was falling apart and there was nothing that I could do about it. And then all of a sudden, Extinction Rebellion comes along and it seems like they have a solution that actually matches the scale of the problem. Like, if you want to put up a new stop sign in your neighborhood, then you can write a petition or go to a city council meeting. But if you want to change the entire system of your country, then the only way to get there is a widespread rebellion. So that really resonated with me, and I finally felt that as an individual, I had a way that I could actually make progress towards what needed to happen. And I think that has been borne out in a lot of my conversations with other people where they're kind of stagnant. They're waiting for this opportunity. They're waiting for this pathway to take action and make a difference. And Extinction Rebellion has a clear-cut pathway that actually has worked. It's already been proven to be effective in the UK.
I bet that was really empowering to feel that way, like you finally have an outlet where you can put your energies towards what really matters to you.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it was night and day going from my regular job to Extinction Rebellion, where, you know, I would constantly be at work just thinking, man, 2 months have passed and we're not any closer to stopping runaway warming than we were before. But now that I'm working for Extinction Rebellion, I feel like I can, even though it's small progress, I can still say, like, over these last 2 months, we have gotten closer than we would have otherwise. So it has been really empowering. And even more than that, just being surrounded by people who feel the same way, who are in this same state of panic and who are ready to do whatever it takes, is really empowering. And it makes you feel less like you're in a bubble and more like there's other, you have comrades around you who are ready to take action with you.
And so your organization is focused on national level, it seems like, but what are you doing at the local grassroots level to influence local and state legislation?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say that we have a national focus. The way that things have played out over the last 6 months, it's been extremely locally focused and extremely decentralized. So essentially what happened was me and the other people who were on the national team would put out the call, and people would come out and say, I want to start an Extinction Rebellion chapter. And we would give them the tools that they needed to be effective to the greatest extent that we could, make sure that they were on the same page with the same demands, the same principles, the commitment to nonviolence. And we tried to give them resources of coaching on how to perform direct action effectively without endangering people. And then from there, all these chapters have pretty much just taken that and run with it. So it is an extremely locally focused movement. And there's not really... The main thing that the national team does is just kind of, like I said, offer support and also kind of try to set these dates so that all this energy is put in at the same time to create the biggest possible impact.
You know, I got that impression when I met with Lee, because she was very focused in on Turner and Argentine. That's why I brought it back up. She had local situations and concerns. In fact, her finding me was based on something she saw locally. So I agree with you. I never once heard her mention anything about national or even Europe. That's why I had to ask if that's where you were from, because that's not where her attention was, other than using that example of what you were doing. Now, my one question I'm still waiting on, what kind of pushback are you getting? What would you say is your biggest pushback?
Yeah, for one thing, we do get pushback sometimes from people who are not like us, who haven't completely lost faith in the system. So for us to come along and say that it's basically pointless to do anything through the legislature because they're completely bought out and the corporations have complete control, sometimes people reject that. They still have this kind of faith in high school civics and the legal process actually working. And then the other pushback, you know, some people aren't really ready. They're not on the same level of ready to make these self-sacrifices of getting arrested and getting involved in the movement. But, you know, that's okay, because our movement is built so that there's a role for everybody to play. So you don't have to be someone who is ready to superglue themselves to a door at a bank or something. There's for every person who gets arrested, you need tons of people in support. So I guess from my perspective, I haven't received that much pushback because our message is mostly reaching receptive ears at this point.
Okay, and Lee, you can also jump in on this one. Extinction. The opposite of doing what you want is what?
The opposite of doing what Extinction Rebellion wants? Well, Lee was kind of alluding to this earlier. So there's this concept of runaway warming, where at some point, even if humans completely eliminate our fossil fuel emissions, these natural processes and cycles that we've put in place continue indefinitely. And it makes the Earth hotter and hotter and hotter, not just until 2100, but 2200, 2300. And there's some science that's come out lately that suggests that by 2100, at our current trajectory, we could lose our cloud cover on a planetary scale, which would lead to, in total, 21 degrees Fahrenheit of warming over pre-industrial levels. So essentially, when the Earth gets that hot that quickly, all of our ecosystems collapse, our food systems collapse, our society has no chance of feeding itself and controlling its population, so our society collapses, and things just get worse and worse and worse. There's more fascism because there's more fear, there's more desire for a strong man to kind of lead the way, and basically things get worse and worse forever until, you know, there's air-conditioned homes in Antarctica, and that's the only place that humans can live.
Okay, and then I'm going to shut up because I could go for this. In many ways, your movement, it reminds me of what it is working in the inner city. And my concern, and I went this with Lee too, and if you remember me having this conversation with you, will it ever reach a point that the opposite of extinction, you will say, is death?
The opposite of extinction is death? Can you elaborate on that?
In other words, unless what your extinction program is trying to achieve is dealt with, the opposite of dealing with it is death. Basically, all that stuff you listed out was saying that's where we'll end up.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever get to the point that it won't be any need for all of that extra conversation involved and hit people with the, you know, shock and awe is death? Because, see, that's what's happening in this environmental movement across the board. We're giving people ways out and not really taking it to where it is. And I think that extinction movement that you're working on is the first time that someone from the majority population is talking in terms of death. Okay? That's what it is.
Well, I think it's already happening, Richard. I mean, really, if we're honest, there are, you know, thousands of asthma deaths. There are respiratory illnesses.
Yeah, but it's not being talked about. That's
it's
what I'm saying.
It's not being connected
to the
source.
And the extinction is in a position that it can make that a kitchen table topic.
Yeah.
Because that's the opposite of what you're talking about.
And that's exactly what you're doing by being the tip of the sword. You're bringing that consciousness to the people.
That's it.
Yeah, and
you know, you're focusing one of the things that I've read in the past, different sources have pointed out that, because you mentioned war stuff, the great wars in the past, well, it started out centuries ago based on religion, but now it's based upon oil. In the future, it's going to be based upon water. And the water is related to the climate.
Well, you said some things, Russell, that really resonated with me. It's not in my nature to be on a radio show, honestly. But 6 months ago, I just that little Greta Thunberg and her one-person climate strike sort of shamed me into getting onto the radio because I've been obsessing about the climate and the emergency that we're having. for a long time. The other thing, though, I'm an engineer. I've also been studying energy transition. And not a lot of people know that it's cheaper now to produce electricity with a solar panel or a wind turbine than it is unless your coal-fired power plant is right next to the mine. That's the only way that it's cheaper. People don't know that because the powers that be want to keep selling coal. You know, so I think a lot of this that we can do in this show is just educating people. If we just keep talking about it, it's going to happen. Lee, what do you want to say?
Well, I just had to jump in because online I did find a little mimeographed copy of the minutes from an American Petroleum Institute meeting in 1980. They'd done their own carbon and the climate study, and the results were exactly what were coming out now. They knew, and they wrote in that memo, it's human-caused. And they also wrote that the fossil fuels in the atmosphere are the cause. And they projected the degrees of warming and what it would mean for us. And they knew that warming at 2 degrees, 3 or 5 was catastrophic for human life. So I think that that's why this is so important to me, too. Is after being a very trusting and loyal citizen, I realized I am being lied to. I'm being hoodwinked. I don't appreciate the campaign of denial that has been laid upon really a lot of my peers who won't even talk to me about this. So it's problematic. Or the people when we're doing a peaceful demonstration who will cuss at us out of their car window. There's an... a negative aspect to the fact that we're even talking about it. So,
I'm ready to be mobilized. What's next? What do we do next? What's the next event? What's the next step?
I wish I had really specifics. Timing wise, you caught us at a kind of regrouping moment. We are going to be meeting. We typically have met about every other week to plan our actions, to strategize. We do want to have specific targets for those actions so that they really can create a response, a specific response. I mentioned the first Friday's demonstrations and what we'll be planning for the end of September. I think it's really key for people to sign on with us online. That could be through the Extinction Rebellion site at xrebellion.org. You can go specifically to the U.S. site, to the Kansas City site, and fill in your information. Get on our mailing list. Certainly through Facebook, you could even, you'll see events there, but you could message me. There are many ways to get that information to our team to be included in what's ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say that URL again. It's extinctionrebellion.us, and from there you can find any chapter's sign-up sheet, get on their email list, and then stay updated about upcoming actions and plans.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate your work, and I think it's important that our listeners get a chance to find out more about that. So, extinctionrebellion.us, and thank you so much for the time that you've spent with us on the radio and also the time you're spending, you know.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. If this has been inspirational to anybody listening, and if you're not a supporter of KKFI, please think about giving us a call. We're going online, 888-931-0901, kkfi.org.
Yeah, this station is it's been a great resource for me since I was in college and I first heard some of the radical voices that just blew my mind. You remember Sister Shariki? You remember that? Yeah, that was what changed my life, really, in terms of wanting to be involved in radio. I got involved in college radio and then eventually moved to Kansas City and got involved here. And I think it's a great thing to be able to hear people's voices and hear about the issues that affect each one of us and all the different people in the community. And that thing that drives me, the news that I want to get to people is about the environment and the different issues about the fact that we are facing this sixth extinction. It's and we're causing it, and that we can do something to, you know, to fix that. And it just takes changing your lifestyle, and it's a great lifestyle. I mean, as I see people, you know, I work at farms and I work with people with food, and I work with people who are activists, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful life. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, Russell and Lee, isn't it great? They're great people to work with, you know, who are donating their time with us.
I have met the most magnificent people, not just at KKFI, yeah. But really, that's been a joy.
So get involved, people. Call 888-931-0901 and contribute to this kind of energy that is about mobilizing people and engaging. And, you know, we are reporting on stuff that no one else is spending as much time on. We spend, you know, at least many minutes each week reporting on climate change. All of the major TV news stations last year had 142 minutes of reporting in 2018. 142 minutes was all of them combined total. And we, you know, we're dwarfing that just at this show alone. And so, yeah, we've spent, what, like 55 minutes today, on this. And so really, we're doing more than NPR. We're doing more than any of the stations. And we can't do that without you. So call 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org now and pledge your support for environmental reporting. Anybody else have something else critical we need to add?
So mention again, if you call with a pledge at $90 level or $7.50 monthly, you can choose between a KKFI T-shirt. It's brand new, the design this year. Or you can get two KKFI tote bags for $12.50 a month, and $150 one-time donation, be a guest DJ. And for $10 monthly or $120 one time, you get a pair of tickets to the Collaborations live event, which is at the Folly Theater. Call and support us and show us that you want to hear this programming and that you're dedicated to helping the environment.
888-931-0901. Get one of those Rockin' Fist T-shirts or tote bags. They're really cool. Thanks for bringing those back, Bill. Right now, we got just a few more minutes here of our calendar for Eco Radio, and then we'll be doing Fiesta Musical. Stay tuned to KKFI.
Here's the calendar of events for the week of June 3rd. Tuesday, June 4th, summer kickoff at the brewery, 6:30 to 8 p.m., is organized by the Thomas Hart Benton Group of Sierra Club at 1600 Genesee Street, Kansas City, Missouri. Contact Kevin Grooms at 816-809-6906 or kagrooms@gmail.com. Wednesday, June 5th, 6 to 7 p.m., Drip, Soaker, or Sprinkler Workshop will be at Clinton Parkway Nursery, 4900 Clinton Parkway, Lawrence, Kansas. This is a no-cost talk about pros and cons of the big three irrigation systems, drip, soaker, or sprinkler. RSVP on Facebook or call 785-842-3081. On Thursday, June 6th, birding will be at 7 a.m. at the Baker Wetlands, 1365 North 1250 Road, Baker Wetlands. Birders of all ages and experience levels are welcome, no cost, and geared toward anyone wanting to improve their birding skills or get out and just enjoy nature. Registration is required. Email mglade@bakeru.edu or call 785-594-4703. Thursday, June 6th, Green Party KC Membership Meeting, 7 p.m., Westport Presbyterian Church, 201 Westport Road. Friday, June 7th, 9 a.m. through Sunday, June 9th, the Bell Mountain Wilderness Backpacking is organized by Kansa Group Sierra Club, and they'll meet at County Road 2228, Belleville, Missouri. Contact zionhikes@yahoo.com. Saturday, June 8th, there'll be a garden sampler tour, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tickets are required. Go to the Garden Club of Shawnee. Also on Saturday, June 8th, Environmental Issues in Kansas will be a talk at 9:30 a.m. in the John Room of the Leavenworth Public Library, 417 Spruce Street, Leavenworth, Kansas. Leavenworth County Democrats meeting will feature Zach Pistora, who's state lobbyist for the Kansas chapter of Sierra Club, who will provide a legislative update. June 7 and June 8, Master Gardeners of Greater Kansas City Garden Tour will be 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Tickets are required and they're available at local garden centers. Finally, Saturday, June 8th, the 6th Annual Sacred Ponca Corn Planting in Neely, Nebraska is happening. Go to boldnebraska.org/ponca2019 for details. These items and more can be found on the kkfi.org Eco Radio KC program page or on our Eco Radio KC Facebook page.